So today we're going to continue our series on the Holy Spirit. And just want to say, as I'm going to say every week, a lot of this teaching is based on the flow of the Holy Spirit course by a man called Dave Holden from New Frontiers. Just want to give him the thanks for that and really grateful for his teaching. And just to remind you that we're going to be going through that specific course on our monthly worship and prayer night, so we can get deep into that. And obviously I'm going to share some stuff from my own heart. And also I've been really encouraged, just to remind you, by this book by Terry Virgo called The Spirit-Filled Church. And he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in us as believers and in the church. And he lays out quite a few arguments of some of the challenges to some of the things that I may say today in depth. And so I encourage you to take a look at that. If you want to get a copy, do so. If you want me to get your copy, I'll be happy to get you a copy. Spirit-Filled Church, Finding Your Place in God's Purpose. And so he's a trustworthy guy. So this week we're going to be looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm aware, as I'm sure you are, if you've been a Christian for longer than about 3 minutes, then within the body of Christ there are differing views about lots of things. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is no different. There's even some confusion about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of it is in-house, like within the house of God, the family of God, like siblings disagree on things. I think a lot of it is that. I think there's a lot of sincere, evangelical, spirit-filled, Christ-centered, going-to-heaven Christians who would disagree with me. But that's part of being a family. And I think in the future we can explore those reasons for some of the challenges to what I'm going to say. And I think I may cross over and mention one or two today, but I wanted us this morning to look at three biblical areas that are connected to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I'm hoping that this will bring clarity and it will reveal some of my positions and what I've believed and what many other people believe, and also what I've grown up with in my family. They very much believed in a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I forget the time, I'll tell a funny story about my nan and granddad, but we'll see. So Father, I just pray again that you would bless us this morning. Thank you, you've already blessed us. I pray, Lord, that you would baptize us in your Holy Spirit afresh. Even as I speak, Lord, would you be working in us? And I pray your will be done today. In Jesus' name. I pray we'd have our hearts open. I thank you, Lord, it's you that does this work. It's not anything we work up. It's you, Lord. So come and have your way in our hearts. Even in where the kids and mountains are, Lord. Whatever they're engaging with today, would you baptize them in the Holy Spirit? Would you baptize us as a family in your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name. Amen. So the three things that I want us to look at today. Number one, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promised gift to all believers. Number two, we're going to ask a question, well, what qualifies me or you or us to receive this promised gift? And the third one is, we're going to look at the experience of the early church, which I believe has great relevance to us. And just to say that some of the opposition to teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit does involve people saying, well, you can't actually use the narrative of the early church to talk about the baptism and the Holy Spirit because it's just narrative. It's not like clear teaching. But I would say to that, as many other people would, that the Apostle Paul says, look at the Old Testament for instruction. And how much of the Old Testament is narrative? Loads. So that's just one of the things that come up when you look at this. There are brothers and sisters, a bit of friction about, oh, can you use Acts? I believe you can, so we're going to. And I don't want to sit on the fence. I think it's important to look at the different arguments, but this is Paul Riley. I don't want to sit on the fence on everything, and I want to say this is what I believe. I believe the scriptures teach there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I've experienced it, and I've known people that have experienced it. So, hallelujah. Okay, so number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promised gift to all believers. So in John chapter 1, if you recall, John the Baptist is baptizing people, okay? And God had already told him that a man is going to come, and when the Spirit comes on him, he'll know that he's the Son of God. That's what God told John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sees Jesus. And if you remember, he gets this revelation, and John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know that scripture? John the Baptist sees Jesus and says, look, behold, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's very interesting how very few of us have a problem with that. That Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yet, only a few moments later, John gives the testimony about not only is Jesus going to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ is the one who will baptize people in the Holy Spirit. So again, we're quite safe in that Jesus is the Lamb of God. But in the same breath, almost, John says Jesus is not only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he's the one who will baptize us people in the Holy Spirit. Because it says in verse 32 from John 1, John the Baptist says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. He's talking about his experience when he baptized Jesus. And I myself did not know him, but the one, that was God, who sent me to baptize with water, told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So again, most of us are happy to accept the sin and the Lamb of God, which is massive, it's awesome, and we should accept that. But let's not forget that John then says, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's irrelevant. Ought we not to believe both? That Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So just as Jesus is the promised Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, so the Holy Spirit is the promised gift that Jesus will baptize his people with for power. Now you read in Mark 1 as well, John the Baptist says, after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So we come to Jesus and he baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. We come to him and he gives us this wonderful gift. Then we look in Acts. You remember the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down and Peter's preaching, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call. So Peter's preaching to Jewish people at a Jewish festival, and people thought they'd been drinking because they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were already disciples and they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter says, no, we're not drunk. Joel the prophet promised the Spirit. If you read the promise of Joel in Acts 2, Peter then says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's water baptism, which can be seen as an experience, as one experience. Then he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as a promise for you and your children and for all who are far off. So it seems to be separate things here. For everyone. It says the promise for you and your children and for all who are far off. Everyone. First for the Jews and the Gentiles. Then the Gentiles. So it comes first to the Jews, which is the plan of God, the story of Israel, when God chose Abraham and then from a family. But the whole core of their purpose was to bring the gospel through themselves. That God chose that family to then spread the gospel and then became more than the stars in the sky. And that's us. We're the stars. We are part of Abraham's family by faith. A promise for anyone, a timeless promise, any age, any culture. And we can receive this promise by faith. Jesus says in John 7, remember he said on the last day of that festival, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And this is still the Bible. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So he's talking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So people believed in him, they were in relationship with him, they're saved, it appears, yet there's something else coming. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And guess what? Today, Jesus has now been glorified. He's been glorified. He died. He paid for our sins. He was raised from the dead to show that his sacrifice was enough. And he was ascended to the right hand of the Father. And then he poured his Spirit out on Pentecost. Jesus has been glorified. So we can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit as a promise, as a gift. You might think, what is this baptism? Well, there are parallels to water baptism. It means to be clothed, to be drenched, to be fully immersed. Not just a flick or a touch, but full immersion like water, just fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. And I love one word that Dave Holden used, deluge. Just a deluge of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming upon at a real encounter with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And we can ask ourselves, have I experienced this in my life? Have I experienced this in my life? So that's number one. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promised gift to all believers. Number two, we're going to ask the question, what qualifies me to receive this gift? And I'm going to look in a moment, when we look at the early church, about an experience where the Holy Spirit comes on people and then they get saved. So God can just, you know, do what he likes. But generally speaking, the point here is that simply being a child of God is all you need to receive this promise. And so the question is, are you a child of God? Are you born again? Do you know you're a child of God? If you are, in that sense, you're halfway there. You qualify. That's what qualifies you to receive this. As we read from Acts just now, it tells us our qualification is to be a child of God. So it's not about our performance, about how things are going. Did I have a good week? Did I fulfill my responsibilities before the Lord? Or did I miss a quiet time?
Or was I short with someone? Did I, as a child of God, slip on a banana skin this week? It's not about that. See, the power of grace, it stuns me every time. And when I come to the Lord, when we come to the Lord, He doesn't say, go away. He says, come. Come closer. I want, that's the privilege of being a child of God. And that's our qualification. Are you born again? It's not about our performance, receiving the Holy Spirit. It's about whether we're born again. And if we are born again, then we receive this by faith. Just like Abraham was a man of faith. And we receive Jesus Christ by faith, saved by grace through faith. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Because the believers at Pentecost, they were born again, and then on the same day they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to go on a course or work at it or become something. They simply received the Spirit as a gift from God. It was a free gift from God to those who've been saved. Nobody deserved it. Perhaps you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you know it. Say, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's been so long, you're desperate for more of God and a fresh encounter with Him. Perhaps you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would love to be. And this is not a first or second class situation. I think that we should live our lives full of joy and anticipation that the Spirit is going to pour Himself out on us as a promised gift. And, you know, why wait? Reach out for this gift. Even now, this moment, say, Lord Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to hear more to be convinced. Well, I want us to look at four biblical experiences of the early church in Acts. So believers in Acts, generally speaking, that were born again, they received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's a clear picture that we see throughout the book that people are converted, then baptized in water, and then they receive a separate baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that's three separate experiences. And I believe that these events were recorded for a reason, as I've already said. And we won't go too deep into the objections, but the same Holy Spirit that came on those believers, as we see in Acts, is the same Holy Spirit that comes upon us. And the same Holy Spirit that wants to come upon us. So number one is in Samaria in Acts 8. So not long after Pentecost in Acts 8, Philip the evangelist is preaching the gospel in Samaria. And it says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So these new believers from Philip's ministry, he's the only named evangelist in the New Testament, they receive Jesus, they're immediately baptized in water. But we go on to read that when the apostles hear that things are happening in Samaria, they go and send Peter and John to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I'm not making this up, it says, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So were these people Christians before they had received the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, they were. They were believers. They were in Christ. They were born again. They'd heard Philip, they'd responded, they'd been born again, baptized in water, yet it says in verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. So there's this pattern emerging where people are born again, baptized in water, and then the apostles go and lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again, like us. The prayer from Peter and John was not for salvation, because they were already saved. But this was for power. To be drenched in the Spirit. To power to be witnesses. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Now, I would almost go as far as to say, if he says it, then it must be true. I'm not going to go that far, because he probably wouldn't want me to say that. But he's a reliable, trustworthy man of God in glory right now, enjoying the rewards of his labour. And he said, these people were already true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified as their saviour. They had been baptized into his name because they had become believers, but still they were not baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's from his book, Joy Unspeakable. Number two, let's call this one Brother Saul, as Terry Virgo does. Acts 9, verse 17, the Apostle Paul has a similar experience. The Apostle Paul. Paul has this dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. And then 3 days later, a disciple of Jesus called Ananias comes to lay hands on Paul. And he calls him Brother Saul. So he might get his sight back and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in verse 17 it says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul. So he's saved, right? He's had his Damascus Road experience. Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul was filled 3 days after being saved on the road to Damascus. I'm just saying. Terry Virgo says, this is why I like Terry Virgo, because he speaks plainly. Lots of great people speak plainly, that's good. Plainly, according to the scriptures, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit 3 days after his famous conversion. Isn't that interesting? And again, I won't go too deeply into it because I haven't kind of written clear notes about it, but one of the other things that people talk about in, you know, challenging an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as people say, you get it all at conversion. And I believe that it does happen. There are people who do get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit on the same day. And as I'm going to say hopefully soon, being baptized in the Holy Spirit opens us up for more, so you continually get baptized. But there are clear examples where there is a separate baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Martin Lloyd-Jones talks about how if you got it all at conversion, he says, where is it? And that's challenging. If it all happens at conversion, which it does sometimes for some people, and there's various teachings that talk about a slow, gradual release of the Holy Spirit. The more we kind of sanctify ourselves and work hard, there's a slow, gradual release. But I have to be honest, my current level of understanding, I can't preach on it because it ain't anywhere in the Bible. And I'll keep searching and looking, and I'm trying to remain humble because this is a challenging subject. But that's not been my experience of the scriptures. That's not been my experience in life. And so I can't preach that and say that's what it is. It all happens at conversion, and then it's like a slow release. That's not my position. But you can come and challenge me about that, I'm sure. Number three, Cornelius and Peter in Acts 10. So we read about Peter, who he overcomes his reluctance to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And specifically, he eventually goes to the house of Cornelius, this Gentile and non-Jew. And Peter preaches the gospel of Christ in the house. And it says, the Holy Spirit falls on all who heard the message. So in Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter says, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So from this example, you can see it's clearly possible for people to receive the Holy Spirit and then be baptized in water. So you can see why it's challenging. God's not in a box. And that was a significant thing in the context for the Holy Spirit to be experienced by Gentiles. Because we're the chosen people of God. And God was actually saying, yes, you are the chosen people of God, but I chose you to preach the gospel to all nations. It's a really important part of God's salvation plan is Israel. But they were called to spread the gospel through that family. And so there must have been like the Holy Spirit is coming on those Gentiles who don't even talk about God. And yet when Peter goes there, on God's instruction, he preaches the gospel, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they're baptized in water. And it just seems to me that there is, in the scriptures, in the early church, there's this passion for everybody to have a clear salvation experience, and then people to have a clear experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, whichever one comes first. Just have both. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again. But don't miss out on the promised gift to all believers. To be baptized, immersed, clothed. To experience a deluge of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, my own experience, I got saved at the age of 6. In Sunday school with my nan. And I'm still loosely in touch with some of the people that are in our little circle. We prayed the prayer and we gave our lives to Jesus. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 13. You know Stuart Reed, he was ministering with my dad, and we were down in Amersham, down south. And I think it was during the days of John Wimber, and the Spirit was moving in the churches. And we used to go to this evening session where all the churches in the area would come and gather and just worship. And the teenagers would sit in the balcony, and we'd be teenagers and kind of check in and out. But I just remember regularly looking at Stuart Reed. When he preached, I was touched. Something was going on in me. I was like, wow, something is happening when he preaches the word. And I loved it. And then there was this time, loads of worship and stuff, but there was a time when they were calling people up the front. And I don't really know, I just went down. And all I remember from that, because I was 13, it's a few years ago now, but I've held on to that testimony. I remember they prayed for me and everything went white. Everything went white. And I fell over. No one pushed me. I felt the presence of God. I felt the power of God. I remember it. And I went down. I remember my nan. Because my mum died when I was 7 and she was so protective of me. It was almost like she was like, everybody out the way, I'm in charge now, I'm looking after him, he's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I received an experience of God at 13, and I didn't end up getting baptized in water. I don't really know exactly why, but they didn't feel I was ready. And I think there's probably some wisdom in that. So I didn't end up getting baptized in water, and different things happened. It wasn't the only reason, but I left the church at 19. For one reason or another, I said about enough, rebellion, all the rest of it. I always knew Jesus, and when we'd be in the pubs and the clubs talking about philosophy, I'd always stick up for Jesus. Because I was filled with the Spirit and I was saved. But I hadn't been water baptized and I wasn't reading my Bible. I didn't know my Genesis from my Job. Really, I just ignored it. I was like, I've had enough now. But I've stuck up because I had Christ in me. Now, what does that mean theologically? But when I got to 30, I came back. Long story short, gave my life to Christ again. And I got baptized afresh. In the Holy Spirit. And I remember I was stood there at this weekend going, show yourself, do something, prove yourself, come on God. I'm fed up, show yourself to be real. And nothing. Hours and hours go by, nothing. Other people around like laughing and experiencing and dancing. I'm like, this is a waste of time. Why can't you just show yourself to me, prove yourself to me? And then in one moment, I remember it specifically, my heart shifted. And I believe it was just the Spirit just turning me upside down. And instead of going, show yourself to me, I just said, I'm here. I'm here. You're my Lord. You don't have to do anything, but I'm here for you. And I can tell you, it was in that moment, I felt the presence of God again. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was a time when I felt like people were doing things to me. I had my eyes shut and I felt like if somebody, you know those squeezy pots of honey, imagine I came over your head and poured a squeezy pot of honey over you, feel it. And it was like that. And my hands were on fire. Not literally, but they were burning. And I kept opening my eyes thinking these weird Christians are pouring stuff on my head. No one was anywhere near me. And that's my experience. You know, I don't hold my whole salvation solid rock experience on that. But that happened to me. I believe it was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was up all night. Many times, and specifically when I received the Spirit like that, and then over that weekend I went to the front and I gave my life to Jesus again, afresh, properly. I actually prayed a specific prayer. And I zipped up my leather jacket and I had a pint in the pub across the road because I was so free with all my grace-filled Christian friends. And I went home and I stayed up all night. I couldn't believe, in a sense, that God was real. In a sense, I could believe it, but it was like, this is unbelievable. And I was reading the scriptures, and everything was coming alive, and it was just, I was just on fire. I was just like, this is so true, this is real, this is real. And it was done unto me. It was God doing it to me. And then I went to meet the vicar, and I arranged to be water baptized. So I haven't followed the standard plan. But I'm here today, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm justified, I'm redeemed by Christ, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's my experience. So the message is, don't overanalyze anything. The message is, be born again and reconciled to God, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the message. Number four, 12 Ephesians, let's call it, Acts 19. Verses 1 to 6. The Apostle Paul comes to Ephesus and he meets 12 men described as disciples. And he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is in the Bible. And Dave Holden quite rightly says, that's a weird question to ask if everyone receives the Holy Spirit when they're saved. Isn't it? the Apostle Paul, he's not asking like random questions. He's a clever guy. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So it seems a common practice for people in the scriptures to believe and in a sense receive the Holy Spirit, be born again, but then be prayed to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, Paul seems to recognise in this situation that something's missing. And he actually goes on to discover that they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit and they were actually disciples of John the Baptist. Because it says in Acts 19:2, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul then asks, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So it's possible they weren't even saved. So Paul leads them to salvation. He gives them clarity about believing in Jesus Christ and the importance of that. And then they're baptized in water into the name of Jesus Christ. And then Paul lays hands on them and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So this is a biblical pattern that people come to believe in Jesus and they're baptized in water for salvation and then they have a separate Holy Spirit baptism to empower them. Now, I said a few weeks ago that if there is a baptism, if there really is one, a baptism in the Holy Spirit that's available to us for empowerment, then we need to know about it. And we need to ask. And, you know, if we haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we're not children of God. It doesn't mean that we're not precious to God and we're saved and we're born again. But I ask the question, how much more will we be helped if we receive the promised gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if there is one? And I think there is. Pretty obvious. So why? What's the point in this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Is it just so we can feel good? Well, actually, hopefully some results of the baptism in the Holy Spirit will inspire some hunger in you. If we're baptized in the Spirit, we can expect more hunger for the things of God. We can expect to become more free to express our worship to Jesus Christ. I know we have varying cultures in this place, but the culture I'm involved in, I'm English. Being kind of moved into Chinglish, but I'm English. That's the reality. I can't help it. I'm English. And part of the English culture is quite reserved. And I still like that. I think, you know, I like a bit of reserve. Don't, you know, let's not knock it. I mean, there is a time to be reserved. Thank you very much. But there are also times when that cultural influence means I'm not freely worshipping Jesus Christ. And I didn't plan to say this, but I've danced once in this place. When people were in here. And that was with Emmanuel. Because they forced me to dance. I was stood there. And the worship leader at his conference is, you know, everyone's just going, you know, and I'm kind of trying to move my body around and then the worship leader starts calling the pastors up one by one. I'm thinking, I'm putting two together, I'm a pastor, I'm speaking, he's going to call me up here, isn't he? And I'm like down the line, I'm thinking, can I just get out, you know? But there's no escape. But it came to the point where it would have been more embarrassing if I'd have said, oh no, it's not for me, than it would have been to dance. So I came, in the end, it was like, Pastor Paul, and I think everyone kind of knew. It was like, this is going to be quite funny. And I ended up, from what I remember, just doing some kind of Irish jig here. And I just threw my body around. And I felt free. And I felt that, you know, in a sense, my unique experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to me wasn't happening at that time. But in a sense, I was being touched and baptized afresh. Because I was free. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to get up and throw ourselves around. But just make sure you're free. And I've learned so much from Emmanuel and the family and the fountain of life. Because there's no reservation. And Eunice, you know what I'm talking about as well. And I'm sure many of you do. There's something we can learn from other cultures. And again, it doesn't mean you have to put it on. But there's something about freedom in worship. I've run around in this place when no one's been here. It's easy because no one's looking. And I've just rejoiced in the Lord. I've just felt, you know, when the doors shut at home, we jump about a bit. And I want a bit more of that. I just want us to be free to worship. And if free worship for you is just standing there, then so be it. That's great. You don't have to prove yourself. But let's just make sure we're not overcome by being too reserved. So, all that to say, you can expect by the baptism of the Holy Spirit to express a freedom of the joy in Christ. You can expect to have a greater openness to the gifts of the Spirit. You can expect experiences of the Holy Spirit that empower you to bless others. Because the gifts of the Spirit are gifts to us, but they're gifts to build up the body. So we don't prophesy to go, I'm an amazing prophet with a prophet tie. We prophesy with gift of the Spirit to others to build them up. And say, the Lord has got a word for me here in my heart. And you take it, you receive it with an open hand, be blessed by it. That's what that's for. So you can expect that. We can expect more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We can expect power to be His witnesses. And three types of power. You can expect an internal power to be free from the trauma and the pain of the past. It says in Ephesians, to be strengthened in the inner person by the Holy Spirit. And then we can expect external power to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom to see the captives free. And then we can expect a power to be courageous in speaking up for Christ. And one thing I've found is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit opens up the floodgates of mercy for more. This is just the beginning. It's not to say I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit now, can shut everything up, I've done it. It's to start. And your intimate prayer life with God will flow with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you will have courage to take from the secret place, as some people say that I quite like, to every place. So Jesus does say, shut the door and pray to your Father. But he also says, go and make disciples. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. The scriptures come alive when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. God starts breathing fresh breath and oil on you. We've been crushed. As people, throughout many times in our lives, but especially the whole world's been crushed the last few years. And how do you make new wine? You crush it in the wine press. That's how they used to make wine in ancient days. A press, crush the wine, and then the grapes and new wine comes out. How does fresh oil come out of olives? It's crushed. Squeezed, it's pressed. We have been crushed that we might experience fresh wine, fresh oil, new wine. Not some strange idea, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why we've been crushed. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're able to sleep better. You're able to rest better. You're able to overcome temptation. You're able to receive His grace in times of need. You're sustained in trials and suffering. And you're empowered to know God. Jesus says in John 17:3, describes eternal life. Eternal life is to know God. When you know Him, that's the Spirit working. And my question to all of us this morning, are you born again? I think we should regularly ask this in a public setting of worship. Are you born again? Because that is essential. Jesus says you must be born again. But Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead, and we need to be in the family. So are you born again? And I would say if you're not, then do you want to be? And so you can be born again today. If you are born again, then you qualify for the promised gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know it, and you're well, and that's great. There's always more. There's always more. It's just the beginning. Maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you know it, but it's just been so long since you felt that immersion, that clothing of His love and God's power coming upon you that assures you that you are actually His beloved. You're not making this up. You haven't blown it. So many times I've gone before God and I've thought, I've blown it. And He's never said no. And I just want that for other people. And I know you've lived in that as well. Many of us, maybe all of us have experienced that. But there's just nothing sweeter when you're touched by the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're not even convinced by what I'm saying. Maybe you think I've explained it properly or whatever, but no one's forcing anything on anybody. And if you still need to work things out, then that's fine. But what I really want us to do is close, because we've got a few minutes, is do what we did last week and pray for each other. And just get into groups. And if you're still working this out, then I would still encourage you to sit and listen and ask to receive from God in some way, shape or form. Because as I said, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I don't. But can I just encourage us to become childlike again? And I've found in my life I've been confused with theology a lot. I thought when I went to Bible college I'd just work it all out and then I'd just go and tell everybody else all the answers. But in a sense, as we were talking about yesterday and into the Word, the more I knew, the more I learned, the less I knew. Also, I didn't realise there were 10 other doors on that subject. So I think sometimes in the Christian life we can become over-analytical. And, you know, there's a place for analysing things. We don't just want to rush off and just believe the first thing that we can. We want to look at that, and that's good. But I just don't want us to miss out on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to miss out on God because we've over-analysed anything, everything. I encourage you to make this simple. As we get in groups, have faith that this is a promised gift to all believers. And again, I just remind you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's just the beginning. It opens the door for more. There's always more. And I really believe that we have been crushed in many ways. And I believe part of God's purposes in that is that he would pour out new wine on us. So wherever you are on this, even on Zoom, if you're on Zoom, you can pray too and just sit there and ask the Holy Spirit to come. The Apostle Paul said, be filled and go on being filled. So let's pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. So let's just get in groups like we did last time. And if you're not comfortable about praying, just sit and receive. Amen. We'll just bring the service to a close now. If you want to keep praying, you're free to do that. I hope you enjoyed your experience today with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say as well, I did promise a quick story about my nan and granddad. Don't be discouraged if you don't feel anything. My nan told me many years ago, around that time when I got filled with the Spirit in Amersham, in Stuart Reed's church, people were being filled with the Spirit and experiencing the Spirit and this charismatic revival, and including my nan. But my granddad hadn't experienced anything. And apparently, he was a bit grumpy about this. And so my nan was like walking around the house filled with love and joy and peace, and loads of people were. And my granddad is like, you know, he's a Christian man, but he was apparently a bit like short-tempered about it. And he had to wait quite some time before he experienced a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But apparently one day, you know, after all the challenging waiting and the probably being prayed for and going, why am I not feeling anything? He was sat in their living room one day and he just read a scripture that said, Jesus has saved us from all sin. And apparently it just, something happened in him from the Spirit. And he just fell on the floor and laid on the floor for hours laughing with joy. Now, I'm not saying that wasn't my experience. I'm not saying you have to wait for that. But the reason I'm saying that is that don't be discouraged if you don't feel anything. Be childlike. Know it's a promised gift. Have faith, expectant, joyful expectancy. And apparently my nan actually had to phone people and say, I don't know what to do with him. Because he's there. And he was filled. But he had to wait. Some people receive it straight away. But he had to wait. So I'm just encouraging you to just be expectant. Keep believing. If you've got any more questions about the Holy Spirit, then come and join my club. Because there's lots of questions about God. But I'm open to, if you want to challenge me or ask anything. And we'll try. If I don't have the answer, we'll try and find it together. And so, do please come and see me, or there are various other people who can answer your questions among us as well. We've got tea and coffee available. Let's not forget that. So let's have some Spirit-filled fellowship with one another. And I'm just going to pray, Lord, that out of your glorious riches, Lord, that you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.